Monday, that is the 6th of Rabi al-Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Mehr, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. All right, let's beautify ourselves and let's have the beautiful aroma of the ayahs of the Holy Quran in our ears and our mouth by reciting what ayah? Yes, Brother Mahmoud has selected a beautiful ayah, ayah 88 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Let's listen to the Arabic recitation of this ayah along with the English translation, and then we'll continue our discussion. I am Atta, the host of this program you're listening to today. It's special.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ
And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. And fear Allah, in whom you are believers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All right, welcome back to today's special. What you listened to was Ayah 88 of Surah Al-Ma'idah along with the English translation. Your faith to Allah requires that you respect all His commandments, both in enjoining the merits of Allah and observing moderation and piety. That's why the Holy Prophet of Allah, in the beautiful hadith, said, It is obligatory for every Muslim believer, man or woman, Muslim or Muslima, to gain lawful things. Again, the Holy Prophet of Islam, in another tradition or hadith, said, Worship consists of 70 parts, the best of which is seeking the lawful material. By lawful here, we mean halal. Okay, halal here is very much different from the halal brand and sustenance, but it encompasses two. Halal income, halal sustenance, halal money, halal mouthful. Also, the Holy Prophet of Islam said, Seeking for lawful sustenance, that is, rizq al-halal, is the same as holy struggle in the way of Allah or jihad. Wow. Really, really difficult responsibility for the men of the family and a society, because they are main providers of the bread for the family. Try to have lawful sustenance for your family. Taking a break, and then we'll continue our discussion with today's tip, Oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake? Deep inside, I know. Amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
All right. Welcome back to today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. For today's practical tip, we'll get to oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives. The Islamic emphasis on cleanliness is particularly evident in its focus on oral hygiene, the practice of keeping the mouth clean and healthy. The mouth has both a physical and a spiritual significance. Wow, you might ask yourself, how? Mouth have a spiritual significance. Without a physically healthy mouth, it is difficult for us to eat, drink, smile, laugh, or to show certain emotions based on facial expressions. Without a healthy mouth, we are unable to enunciate our speech properly. If the mouth is not clean and healthy, we can develop serious illnesses in the rest of the body that can affect our quality of life. Recent research points to a connection between gum disease and the inflammation accompanying heart attacks, strokes, and other vascular events. The research also shows that the oral bacteria appear in the fatty deposits of patients with atherosclerosis, a disease of the arteries. A stage that sits inside arterial walls, thus narrowing the arteries. Wow, the connection between mouth and narrowing the arteries. This is really interesting. Thank you, Brother Mahmoud, for introducing such a topic to us and such practical tips. Stay with us, and then we'll get to the spiritual aspects of oral hygiene.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition. Today we are going to talk about oral health. That is, the scientific findings and Islamic perspectives on oral health specifically. The connection between oral health and serious illness is now well documented. Researchers have discovered that certain oral bacteria, for example, Peripheromonas gingivalis, appear in the brains of people who died with Alzheimer's disease. These bacteria produce substances that are found in the hippocampus, a part of the brain that helps with memory. In mice, they tested what happens when teeth become diseased. They observed that the brain developed more inflammation, damaged cells, and beta amyloid plaques. These are typical characteristics of Alzheimer's. Oral bacteria can also cause problems with the heart. They sometimes travel into the blood vessels and build a type of protective layer, which is like a thin blanket. This blanket keeps medications and the body's defenses at bay. The bacteria then cause trouble by initiating inflammation. This inflammation causes bad cholesterol to deposit on the walls of blood vessels. This can make vessels hard and narrow, which is called atherosclerosis.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Welcome back. Now it's time for the spiritual aspects of oral hygiene. Wow. The first question comes to my mind. What's the link between mouth and spiritual development? A healthy, clean mouth is an important aspect of worship because of the ibadah that takes place using it. That is, without mouth, without saying the words, we are not able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah said, "Freshen your mouth with the toothpick. Verily, the mouths are the pathway of the Quran." Beautiful. The pathway should be protected so that we can use it to recite Allah's words with tajweed, which is defined as pronouncing the Quran in the best way by giving each letter its rights. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's it. With toothpick, with a clean mouth, if you say it, it's a pathway to heaven. A meticulous pronunciation of the letters of the Quran cannot occur when the reciter's mouth hurts or his teeth are missing. In the same way that we should maintain the places of prostration or masjid and keep them clean, we should also maintain the places of articulation and keep them clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank you for the mouth, for the good teeth, for the healthy mouth that you give us to worship you through our words. Stay tuned, then we got to tips to boast your oral hygiene routine. Now it's the time for tips to boost your oral hygiene routine. Switch to a soft bristle brush. Wow. You likely already know you should change your toothbrush every 2 or 3 months or sooner if the bristles are frayed. But if you are using a hard brush, consider replacing it now. Medium and firm bristle toothbrushes may leave your teeth feeling cleaner, but they can be very abrasive and damaging over time because they are hard. You like it, you brush your teeth with a hard one, they become cleaner, wider, but at the end of the day, they will damage it over time. Most people would be perfectly fine with a soft bristle brush, and there is no need to brush too vigorously either. It's not good for your teeth or gums. Instead, scientists advise using a gentle amount of pressure, tightening the brush at a 45-degree angle against the gum line and brushing it in a short circular motion. So if you do not know how to brush your teeth or what is the method in order to brush your teeth correctly, just Google it according to your mouth, according to your type of teeth. You can select the best type of brush for yourself, the best type of toothpaste for yourself, the best type of method for brushing your teeth.
Current scientific studies have shown that the miswak actually possesses antibacterial properties. It contains natural substances such as tannins and flavonoids that work against bacteria causing dental plaque. Some studies suggest that the miswak could be even more effective against certain oral bacteria than conventional toothbrushes. In Islam, purity or tahara is considered a fundamental aspect of faith. The ablution before prayer or wudu also includes rinsing the mouth. This regular practice, performed several times daily, can help reduce the number of harmful bacteria in the mouth.
Thank you very much for staying with us with today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. We hope you enjoyed and benefited from today's topic, which was oral hygiene and oral health from Islamic perspective and also scientific perspective. Please, for more information, visit our website, our new website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Take care. Fi amanallah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I
Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Impatient and longing to meet my beloved, my steps quicken, my heartbeat tracing. I long to touch each inch as I pass, hoping to absorb his light into my heart. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. My tears in plea, forgive me.
Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, the light of this blessed city.
My head prostrates onto the ground. All is calm. Now I feel at peace. Sound amongst these millions, only I can hear my heart beat.
Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
Bags are packed, yet I can't sleep. I yearn the streets of my Rasul. He is my love, please let me be.
Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
send me a piece, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So, there is a deep truth in this one sentence from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Uproot evil from the chest of others by uprooting it from your own. It's poetic, but it's also practical and powerfully psychological. We live in a world where we often point fingers. He is arrogant, she is toxic, and they're full of hate. But Imam Ali al-Salam teaches us something radical. Change out there begins in here. Let's break it down scientifically. Neuroscience shows that humans mirror the emotions and behaviors of those around them, especially anger, fear, and hostility. It's called emotional contagion. When you show bitterness, others subconsciously mirror it. When you hold back judgment, that too spreads. So if you truly want to reduce conflict, you don't start with their heart, you start with yours. A 2021 Stanford study found that when people practice daily self-reflection, acknowledging their inner triggers before reacting, they were three times more likely to de-escalate conflict at home or at work. So that's Imam Ali al-Salam's wisdom 14 centuries ago. So let's try an example. Imagine you have a colleague or a family member who's constantly negative. You want to fix them. You argue, you push back, and you get frustrated. But have you ever tried removing the same negativity from your own heart first? If you're secretly holding resentment, if you feel superior, and if you've judged them harshly, then you're simply reflecting the same energy you're trying to erase. But the moment you look inward, ask, why does this bother me? Maybe they're struggling. Maybe I've been there too. That time, something shifts. You meet negativity with calm. You meet judgment with compassion. And slowly the evil dissolves. Not just from them, but from the space between you. So, here are three practical steps you can try today. When something triggers you, don't speak immediately. Take 10 seconds, breathe, and ask what's been awakened in me. That moment of pause is spiritual power. Second is like spend 5 minutes every evening identifying one bad feeling you carry today. Envy, anger, pride, and ask God to help you uproot it. Not suppress it, uproot it. The third one, be what you want to see. Want less hate in this world? Be more loving. Want more humility? Start with your own ego. And Imam Ali al-Salam didn't say fix others. He said fix yourself and others will be affected by it, inshallah. So next time you see evil, don't just fight it out there. Pull it from your chest and watch how light spreads. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Nauf Abdul Rabbo al-Zanin is angry with the complicity of her Arab neighbors, who have not only been silent as the Palestinians face being erased. Many of these countries support the Zionist entity in one way or another. Many others in Gaza have expressed the same sentiment. Have the Palestinians truly awakened to the reality that the majority of the Arab nations have no interest in the principles of justice or the concept of the Ummah and just care about themselves? Welcome to Women of Resistance, where on this edition, we are bringing you the story of Nauf.
There are Palestinian eyes that have seen history in the making, lips that have cried out for justice longer than most of us have been alive. These Palestinians have borne witness to some of the most powerful moments in their history, and God willing, will continue through their very existence to give voice to Palestine and her story. From the 1967 war to the current genocide, Israeli crimes have been personally witnessed by individuals who continue to share their journeys. This new phase in Palestinian history has brought the past into sharp focus. The Western-backed Israeli genocide has brought upheaval, confusion, and chaos to Nauf and her family. The additional complications of having to juggle the worries of immediate safety to remaining at the bedside of a sick daughter made the situation even more intense. The issue of a permanent displacement often comes up for Palestinians like Nauf. When you're actively being bombed, the thought of seeking shelter elsewhere is a real concern. But in the end, the ties to the land override the temporary hardships. Gaza's very topography has been altered. So have the very psyche of the people because of the unrelenting sea of difficulties brought on by the genocide. History will, rightly, not be kind to this crop of regional leaders for their lack of support for their Palestinian brothers and sisters. The strength and resilience of the Palestinian woman has been a thing of wonder, but Palestinians are exhausted. They need the violence to end. Nauf is issuing a global rallying call. Help end this genocide and save the children. The ones who bear the highest price, the injured, the hungry, those left without an education, or worse. For this Palestinian elder who should have been looking forward to her golden years, Nauf now passes time in physical discomfort, psychological torment, dedicating herself to those who rely on her mothering spirit and abilities. Israeli forces would be happy for this stalwart of Palestine to never know another moment's peace as they continue their campaign of eradication. Don't let them have their way.
Joining me in the studio today to shed further light on the plight of Palestinians is British Palestinian activist and advocate Lubna Speitan. Welcome, Sister Lubna.
Thank you, Sister Sakina.
Very difficult to hear the story of Nof, just like, you know, we've been listening to different women in Palestine. Why is it so important, Lubna, for us to hear the story of Palestine from Palestinians like you and Nof?
I feel for years, decades even, our voices have been silenced, and there's been widespread attempts to continue, and now we're seeing, over especially the last 2 years, the increase of state repression. And vitally, and what's been missing for far too long, are Palestinian voices. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, the attempts to silence us, again, it doesn't serve the interests of the colonizers for us to have our stories heard, for people like my father to relate the stories of the suffering that they've endured, how they've been forced from their land, how everything's been ripped from them. And the mass slaughters, the several families and of our own members of our families that have been erased. And they don't want the stories of resistance there, because the one thing that they're infamous for is the dehumanizing and the demonizing of our resistance, in spite of us having that right under international law yet. Our lives, we've been dehumanized to the point that it doesn't matter. And then the aggressor can call themselves and claim they have a right to self-defense when they do not. They are the oppressors, the occupiers. Only the occupied and the oppressed have a right to claim self-defense. And they do not want our narratives to be heard. They do not want the world to understand that we are a people who have been imprisoned and are fighting quite simply for our liberation. And it's a powerful story when people are aware of the history. It's hard to gaslight, it's hard to deflect, it's hard to alter a narrative that is fixed, that everybody is aware of. But,
Do you feel also that, you know, just the fact that a lot of stories are told about Palestinians, but most of them are told by people who are not Palestinians, like ourselves, you know, but the fact that you bring in Palestinian women like yourself, but also Nof, you know, saying it from the ground, does it change, you think, the perspective of what the West sees a Palestinian woman as somebody who cannot, you know, tell her story in as powerful a manner as we are hearing?
From Nof, nothing will be more powerful than the stories from the ground, from those that live there. And as a child of the diaspora, my stories will be different. I'm not in the ground. It's so painful watching that from afar. I'd rather be on the ground with them, and it would be far less painful than to have to watch them and not be able to act. But again, we have freedoms here that they are denied of. And it's so vital that the stories from the ground are relayed to the world so that they can see and witness for themselves, as they are now, the horrors that are inflicted upon them. And we must let their voices be heard. We must raise their voices. And for those that can't speak, we have to be those voices.
Absolutely. Now, Nof talks, you know, very painfully about the lack of support from the Arab countries, you know, how they have completely disregarded the whole of the genocide. Lubna, what has been the traditional historical relationship between Palestine and its Arab neighbors?
There is an utter betrayal, and there always has been. And it doesn't serve ultimately their capitalist interests, and this is it. It's like the sanctions by America that they'd be threatened with, the power, the stranglehold. They're afraid of another uprising like the Arab Spring, if there is revolt. They're afraid of the Arab resistance. But the thing that they must be more fearful of, and that they need to understand, is that if they don't act now, far worse is coming for all of them. Mm-hmm. It does not stop at Palestine. What is happening to Palestine is... it is laying out the ground for further future injustice to occur. It is paving its way.
Yeah. I mean, for someone like me who is not Arab, you know, I find it very difficult to understand the psyche, you know, of them not seeing Palestinians as one of their own. These borders are really, you know, artificial. They are ideally the same people. How do you think this works? I mean, how do you explain this psyche that they don't see it that way? They don't see Palestinians as their own.
No, and it's and even though those countries now, I mean, there are thousands, if not millions, of Palestinians who've been forced from their homes that live in those countries, but even their voices are silenced by the government of those countries. Palestinians have not only had to fight and defend themselves from the Israeli aggressors, but also the Jordanians, who wouldn't permit them, and they're afraid. They're forced into silence. The governments do not want them to rise. They do not want them to have the power of the resistance back. Mm-hmm. Previously, and again, it's all about power. stranglehold capitalist interests, and if they think that that's going to serve their interests, they're very, very wrong, and far worse is coming to them too.
Now, we've seen, you know, on the other side, countries like Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, you know, who may not have that close a border, except for Lebanon, of course, they have been speaking with such unwavering support and material support. I mean, they've taken a hit in their own countries. If you look at what happened to Lebanon, if you look at Iran, you know, having to face their own lives, their own countries at risk because of their pure support of Palestinians. How do Palestinians themselves see the relationship with these countries like Iran and Lebanon and Yemen?
We have a lot of love and respect for those that stand by us, and they're the ones that will also know that it does ideally serve the interest of everyone to protect each other in the region, because it doesn't stop at Palestine. But the love and the protection, especially, you know, with Yemen, they've been the poorest, inflicted with such awful, grievous tragedies by the West, by America. They still stand resilient as a people. They have so much respect for Yemen and the others and the fighters in Lebanon who have stood, and it's come at a price. And they know, and Iran has obviously been attacked, and there is a test of Iran's power. It is a power play. They could have continued, and it could have been a very different outcome, which I had hoped might have been the case, but we just hope that they'll all realize that it only in a unified effort will there ever be freedom and liberation for all of us, that those who don't act there, it's very grave what's coming to them.
Now, all these problems, Lubna, the whole, you know, creation of this occupation was the West, the British obviously put, you know, the occupation in place. Why is it so important for us to be in the forefront of trying to end this occupation from this very land where the problem was created?
Well, as you said, we're in the belly of the beast, you know, it began here and it should end here. We cannot be a country that talks of democracy, of liberation, of equality, when they continue with this long history of colonizing, of corruption, of killing, and the displacement of people. It's awful to think that this government will still permit it, but like we said, you know, their colonizing interests, but this must come from the ground. It's the people that have the power to stop it. The workers have the power to stop it. If the government are not going to stop it, we must.
Do you see a movement? Do you see a massive change since October 7th when it comes to people on the ground here in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, not just here, but worldwide. We've seen a worldwide movement. You know, people have become more educated since the 7th. They've realized even the mass propaganda. People are learning. They are seeing for the first time, if anything it has done, is taken this veil from people's eyes and mobilize people. I mean, people here have been marching. Their basic civil liberties are now at risk, you know, when draconian measures are taking place to prevent that dialogue, to prevent non-violent resistance from taking place. And unless we ultimately keep pushing back there, then these things won't change. But we need more action. We need stronger action beyond, you know, marches and petitions and symbolic gestures. We need action on the ground.
What action is it that we can take? Because, you know, I mean, this government in particular, people had a lot of hope for the Labour government, and we've seen it worse than, you know, you could have imagined, the amount of arrests that are happening, the control of trying to control and, you know, not ensure that this movement goes ahead. But what can we do other than marching and being on the streets? Lubna, if somebody's watching and is really feeling the pain, you know, for the Palestinians, what can we do?
The economic isolation of Israel is vital, and we have many historic examples served to us, from how the Irish defended their rights to South Africa apartheid, which is really vital. The BDS movement was one of the most powerful things that we have done worldwide to support that. We need full economic sanctions, not limited to partial boycott, partial divestment, partial sanction. Everything must stop. Israel is a racist apartheid state now committing genocide. It has been endorsed for far too long. It never should have been, but we have the power to dismantle it. Is to refuse to purchase any goods. If you work in a shop, if you're in a union, mobilize them. Get them to support us so that we don't have to handle, ship, load, move any products to and from Israel. It has to be full isolation. And we must ensure that the Palestinians have the right to practice the armed struggle. Because when you look at the South African apartheid movement, it supported the armed struggle. And only in that did they manage to fight and liberate themselves with the world supporting BDS.
And of course, armed struggle, you know, international law allows that when you are an occupied, you know, entity. Armed struggle is something that is within the international law. But time is also running out, Lubna, for Palestinians. And I think, you know, it's so vital right now for the world to really come together. And all other differences can wait. But right now, you know, people are literally being erased. We heard the story of Nof and the pain of the children and the women. And I think, you know, it's really high time that this is put to an end. Thank you so much, Lubna, for being with us today. And thank you. We wrap up today's show with the beautiful sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Until next time, goodbye.
Reach out for you to hold my hand. The rain may fall, but united we stand. Our prophet guided the children, they grew into be men. He taught the brothers be equal and respect your friend.
To be
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Everyone, brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world, listening to Arab English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim. Here today again with brothers Ali Nasir, Hassan, Hussein and Ma'soum. I'm here with you. Inshallah, today we will be practicing verse number 33, ayah 33, Surah Ar-Ra'd, on page
253.
Thank you so much for telling us the page. Brothers and sisters, hope you have the Quran. Turn to page 253, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse number 33.
All right? Yes.
Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت وجعلوا لله شركاء قل سموهم أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهر من القول بل زين للذين كفروا مكرهم وصدوا عن السبيل ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد.
Then is he who is a maintainer of every soul, knowing what it has earned, like any other? But to Allah they have attributed partners. Say, name them. Or do you inform him of that which he knows not upon the earth, or of what is apparent of speech? Rather, their own plan has been made attractive to those who disbelieve, and they have been averted from the way. And whomever Allah leaves astray, there will be for him no guide.
That was a very nice recitation. May Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. Let's go and take a look at this ayah, what Allah Almighty says, and let's learn something from this ayah, inshallah. Actually, we'll be mentioning short points. I want you to refer to the tafsir books, inshallah, to learn the detailed explanation, all right?
Yes.
All right, the full interpretation of this ayah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 33, Surah Ar-Ra'd, on page 253, that أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ قُلْ سَمُّوهُمْ. So, Allah Almighty says, is he, Allah, who sustains every soul, in spite of what it earns, comparable, is he comparable to the idols, God forbid? And yet they ascribe partners to Allah. Say, name them. قُلْ سَمُّوهُمْ أَمْ تُنَبِّئُونَهُ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ بِظَاهِرٍ مِّنَ الْقَوْلِ. Will you inform him of something he does not know about on the earth, or of what are mere words? بَلْ rather, زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَكْرُهُمْ وَصُدُّوا عَنِ السَّبِيلِ.
Their scheming is presented as decorous to the faithless, and they have been barred from the right way. وَمَن يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ This is very, very, like, important lesson. وَمَن يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ Guys, and whomever Allah leads astray has no guide. I want to explain more about this. You refer to the Tafasir books. Hussein, would you please recite this ayah once for us? Let's see what important tajweed points we have to review here. Too many tajweed points, but the most important ones we'll be explaining. All right? Mm-hmm. Guys?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Hussein, would you please once recite this ayah?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت
Wait, كل Does the letter lam have tanwin?
No.
No?
كل نفس
كل نفس Repeat it.
أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ
أحسنتم أحسنتم See أَفَمَنْ هُوَ The letter قاف It has a heavy sound Make sure you pronounce it with an A sound قا Not قا قا إِمُن There is a mad With the letter قاف Yes Letter off with alif mad yes. and there is a mad on the top. So this tells you that this mad is
wajib.
You have to extend it. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ Right? عَلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا نَفْسٍ بِمَا Do you see that tiny meme below the letter sin?
Yes.
With a kasra? That kasra and mim is the sign, actually, it tells you that this is tanwin. Yes, tanwin kasra, followed by the letter ba. That's why that mim is there. It tells you that this tanwin sound, nafsin n sound, should be changed to a?
Hidden mim sound.
Hidden mim sound. How would you recite it, Ali Nasir?
Kulli nafsin bima.
Nafsin bima. Nafsin, nafsin But hide it. Pronounce it hiddenly. Nafsin bima. Super easy. Bima kasabat. But do not say kasabat. I didn't hear the ta. But if you also say kasabat, it's too much on ta. So kasabat.
Yes. Right?
It's softer. So Hassan, tell us about that qila. Why did he stop here?
Because qila says it's. Better to stop.
Better to stop. He could continue, yes? It was correct, yeah?
Can, yes.
Alright.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Move on. Say.
وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ قُلْ سَمُّوهُمْ
أحسنتم شُرَكَاءَ Also has got a mad. The mad is wajib to be extended. You have to stretch it, alright?
Yes.
شُرَكَاءَ قُلْ سَمُّوهُمْ سَمْمْ مِمْ وَتْشَدَّ Right? Extend the sound. Jim indicates what?
Jim allows us to make a pause.
Allows you to make a pause. So it allowed Hussein to make a pause here, and that's why he did. Move on.
Am tunabbi'unahu.
Read it again. Why did you hide the sound of me? Pronounce it clearly. Am tunabbi'unahu. Right?
Yes.
أَمْ تُنَبِّئُونَهُ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ بِظَاهِرٍ مِّنَ الْقَوْلِ
أحسنتم. This one, this one is hidden. Okay, yes. I have to pronounce it. Why? Because the letter meme is sakin. And meme sakina followed by the letter?
Ba.
Ba. You have to hide the sound. Not by the letter, followed by the letter ta. Like, أَمْ تُنَبِّئُونَهُ. That's أَمْتُنَبِّئُونَهُ. But this one is أَمْ بِظَاهِرٍ. Alright?
Yes.
Very easy, mashallah. أَمْ بِظَاهِرٍ followed by mim. ظَاهِرٍ. Merge them. إِدْغَام. مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. So, yeah, that's قِلَة. We talked about it. Move on.
بَلْ زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَكْرُهُمْ وَصُدُّوا عَنِ السَّبِيلِ
أحسنتم. Not very, like, challenging tajweed rules. Move on.
وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ
أحسنتم. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ. How do you say that?
وَمَنْ
يُضْلِلْ. Noon is omitted. Meme is merged to that. Ya, and ya is doubled, okay? وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ. And you extend the sound also with a nasal sound. Okay, that's it. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. D. Echo the sound. I will recite this ayah once. Let's try it. Repeat after me, everyone. Let's practice it, okay? Ready?
Yes.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت
أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت
وجعلوا لله شركاء قل سموهم
وجعلوا لله شركاء قل سموهم
أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهر من القول
أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهر من القول
بل زين للذين كفروا مكرهم وصدوا عن السبيل